Are you ready for the word tonight? Let's get started. Turning your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Father, I pray that you just help me piece this message together tonight as you'd have it brought forth. And I believe that you speak to the lives of each one here through this word and through your anointing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, have you got it? Verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." In other words, we walk by the revelation or the illumination brought forth by the word of God. Brought forth in a fashion that only the Holy Spirit can produce. And we walk by that above what we see. God is looking for people that will believe Him. Amen. He's looking for people that will believe that He said He's going to bless them. He said He's going to protect you. He's going to provide. He's looking for people that will just say, "God, you said it in your word. I believe that word is for me. And I believe because the word is for me, that promise is for me." And God's looking for people of faith. Amen. I mean, you've put your faith in Jesus Christ as being your Savior, right? You believe because you read it in the Word. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart Jesus rose from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. So you said, "Jesus Christ, be my Savior." And what happened? A faith connection was made to believing God's Word for salvation. And you believe in the salvation Word of God enough, you'd probably stake your life on it. I mean, if somebody came to me and says, "Either renounce Jesus Christ or I'm shooting you," I'm going to say, I trust Him to protect me anyway. So either the gun won't go off or you can't hurt me in Jesus' name. But I refuse to renounce Him for anything. I'm not renouncing my salvation. Did you follow me? And I believe the Word at that level. I believe you do too. I don't believe your salvation's for sale, hopefully. I don't believe you can be threatened out of it. You believe the Word says if you believe in Jesus, you'll be saved, right? But He gives us all kinds of promises in the Word. He says you can be healed. You can prosper. He'll restore your family. All the things we talked about earlier. God says if you believe my promises, you can have them. Amen. And here we find that we're to walk by faith, believing what God said above what we see. Because the enemy will always create circumstances or create the appearance of defeat and that God's not going to provide. And a person that's learned in God's reliability, they've learned God's a covenant God, He cannot lie, will look at circumstances and say, "Yes, I see that, but the Word says." The Scriptures declare this. I mean, you'll have people get in your face and say, "You know, you're going down, this is going to happen," all these things, and who are you to think you can go to heaven? And you'll say, "No, I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus." Why? You're willing to look at the unseen. Well, circumstances will declare defeat in all areas of life. And a faith person says, "I believe it because it's in the Word." Amen. I believe it because the Scriptures declare it. And that's what faith is basically believing God at His Word. No use to complicate it. It's just believing God what He said. But we understand it takes time in the Word for faith to be developed. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. That as you hear the Scriptures or promises in the Scriptures repeated, as you hear it over and over again, it starts to move from the area of just hearing it into understanding it, into receiving it. And it actually becomes part of your thought processes. It becomes real to you. It becomes alive to you. It becomes rhema to you. It becomes illuminated to you in a supernatural fashion. See, salvation is supernatural. You're not saved because somebody convinced you logically you need to be saved. Amen. You're saved, hopefully, because Jesus Christ made salvation real to you in the Word. You really saw Jesus Christ as the risen Savior. And because of that illumination, you grabbed a hold of it and says, "I'm grabbing a hold of what I see." Faith is acting on light from a different source than the sun. The S-U-N. Faith is acting on illumination from the S-O-N versus the S-U-N. Amen? Your natural eye is programmed to see reflection of light from the S-U-N. Your spirit man is programmed to act on illumination from the S-O-N. Amen. And faith is acting on spiritual illumination above natural illumination. Did you follow me? But you cannot step into faith beyond what you see in the Word. Faith begins where the Word of God is known. Faith begins where the Word of God has been made real to you, where you've had illumination spiritually to the realities of what God has said. And no Word, no time in the Word, no time meditating the Word, no faith. No faith, no illumination. No illumination, nothing to step out on faith with. You must see before you can act. But you see with illumination of the Word versus illumination of the eyes. So when it says we don't, oh, now I got to get the quotation right. We look not at the things which are seen with natural eyes, but at the things which are unseen, but are seen by supernatural eyes, by spiritual eyes. We look at the things which are seen by the Spirit and by the illumination the Word brings. Amen. And by faith we act on that illumination above this illumination of the eyes. Faith is acting on what you see in the Spirit and recognizing what's in the Spirit has preeminence, has power, has dominion over the things of the natural. The things of the natural, temporary. That's why you have a daily newspaper. That's why they're updating the internet hour after hour. You know, you can check the internet, you know, whatever pages you go to, and based on the page, it'll be changing all day because stuff's changing in the natural. But you know what? The Word of God never changes. It's established in the heavens. Amen? And you can place your life on the Word of God because it never changes. And it has power to change the natural. Turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John. Let's go to John chapter 8, starting out. And I can already feel the Holy Spirit starting to open up this Word to us tonight. So I'm convinced He's going to talk to some people. Be open for the Holy Spirit to talk to you tonight. He's going to make some things real that you've not seen before. He's going to do it for all of us, including me. John chapter 8, have you got it? Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, to the disciples, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Did you see that? He said, I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now listen. Your natural eyes do not pick up the light of Jesus. You know, your eye is basically a light receiver. Your eye has, should we go into the mechanics of the anatomy? Inside your eye is all these rods and cones, and you got the lens and the retina and everything. And what it does, it takes light, reflected light off of whatever it hits, enters your eye, and those rods and cones pick up the colors of the reflected light, transmit or translated into an electrical signal through your optic nerve into the brain that then creates an image out of that reflected light. The light doesn't go into your head, into your eyes, into your head, and all of a sudden you see it. It's got to be interpreted. And so, this natural light, your eyes built to pick it up and translate it. But your spiritual eyes, the eyes of your spirit, are built to pick up the illumination of the S-O-N. Amen? Jesus makes things real to you. The anointing and the Holy Spirit bring things to life to you spiritually that all of a sudden you have comprehension of, you have knowledge of, you have understanding of a spiritual truth that is now real to you. And when it's made real, you have a responsibility to embrace it and act on it. And Jesus said, I am the light of life. In other words, if you want life, anybody want life, Zoe life, the life of nothing missing, nothing broken, you need the illumination of Jesus. But Jesus, according to John chapter 1, is the Word made flesh. He's the Word. So if you want the illumination that brings Zoe life, you must have Jesus, which is the Word. You must have the Word. Did you follow me on that? The illumination that produces light life is only possible by spending time in this book. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Or faith comes by hearing with spiritual ears. It's really talking about comprehending. Faith comes by spiritual comprehension, amen, of the illumination of Jesus brought through the Word. When you spend time reading the book and you've done it within, you're connecting to it by faith, you're saying, God, speak to me. He will open up your spiritual eyes and ears to hear and comprehend. Really, your understanding to comprehend spiritual illumination. And stuff will become real to you and alive to you that before you had no understanding of. Amen. And a way to understand when you receive spiritual comprehension, you try to explain to somebody that has none, they'll think you're crazy. I mean, you try to tell an unbeliever you're saved because of faith in the blood, they'll think you're nuts. But you know it's real. Why? Spiritual comprehension has been brought through the illumination of the Word that created faith in you, and you now have an understanding of you're embracing a concept in the Scriptures that other people can't see. Why? It came through the illumination of the S-O-N through time in the Word, through the preaching of the Word as well. Amen? And that applies to every promise in Scripture. You've got to spend time in the Word for it to be illuminated to you that you can comprehend it and then act in faith upon it. Amen. We walk by faith. We walk by a different area of illumination. And remember we started saying that walking by faith, walking is a series of controlled falls. That to walk, you move off your balance, safety position. You step out on what God has said, trusting God will catch you. But it's really not a risk if you're in faith because you've already seen in the Word there's your next foundation point. You've already seen in the Word that you're going to be caught, that God's going to supply, He's going to protect. You've already seen that you cannot be defeated if you don't quit. So wherever everybody else thinks you're stepping off in the impossibility, you're putting yourself at risk because you're in faith, you see that you're actually in the safest place you could be. You're in the protective system of God, the providing system of God. We walk by a different type of illumination. And as we do so, we have access to enter into the life, the Zoe life of God. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, Jesus answered verse 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Amen. He's saying, if you try to walk in the night, you will stumble. If you try to walk in the dark, you're going to trip up. What I want to bring forth is, you cannot walk in faith without illumination. Too many Christians hear about walking in faith. They want to jump out and live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Amen? But they want to do it and leave the Word behind. And you cannot walk safely without the illumination the Word brings and without the faith it produces. So what happens is people try to step out of faith, and they're really stepping out on mental, ascension, Amen. They're just trying to walk out in hope, and they've really not spent time where they see their next foothold, and they stumble. We must be people illuminated by the Word to go into what God has. But see, I put everything I have at risk, which is not really at risk, based on this. I'm believing for an outpouring of God in these end times. Amen. I'm believing God's going to sustain me and provide for me, heal me and protect me. I believe that God is the God that's going to bring forth the glory on the end time church. So we're putting all of our energy, all of our effort into positioning ourselves for God's manifestation in our lives in every area. Why? We've seen some things. And you try to tell people that haven't seen the... See, I've seen the vision of the glory. I've seen the cities of glory. But I'm talking about supernatural vision impartation. I've seen it. And once you've seen it by God, no man on earth can take it away from you. So having seen it, I now know I'm charged with going into it. And we have a responsibility not to let it be taken away from us. But you try to tell the average, you know, person, even the average Christian, you try to tell them, yeah, I believe God's reigning in cities of glory. We're believing for the glory of God to come on our church. You do you? They'll think you've lost it. You cannot explain illuminated images to people that have never seen. You take a person who's blind from birth, and you try to explain colors, or explain, you know, this is what a 747 looks like, unless they felt a model of it in their hands, you know, you're going to have trouble. Well, it's got wings coming off it. What's a wing? Amen. In the same fashion, how do you explain a supernatural image God has given to you? Unless that person is in that realm of faith, that they're willing to let their eyesight see into that realm as well. I'm so delighted last Friday night, so many people had visions of this restoration that's going to take place. Because once you've seen it, you'll act on it. Once you've seen it, no devil in hell will be able to take it from you. We walk by faith, but we can only walk to the place we've had illumination. And you must be willing to spend time in the Word to say, God, illuminate me. Does anybody want the will of God done in their life? I mean, how many people, when you get to heaven, you want to say, God? You want God to say to you, you did it. You sought me for my plan for your life, and you fulfilled it. How many want that? I don't want to get to heaven and God say, you didn't love me enough to even find out what I had for you. You didn't care enough about this salvation, this great gift I gave you through the cross, to even spend enough time in the Word to seek out what I had for you. Instead, you walked around saying, well, if God's got something for me to do, He'll tell me. He only tells us who seek Him. He only invests illumination in those that have a heart to go after it. And first you have to have a heart to seek it before you can act on it. God's looking for people that will seek out His plan. That will say, God, I've got so many years on this planet, on this earth, in this lifespan You've given me. What would You have me to do versus what do I want to do? And it starts with getting in the Word and saying, God, show me. And if you'll do that, illumination cometh. God illuminates to the hungry. He stands at the door and knocks. He says, if you open, I'll come in. You know, if Jesus comes in, you'll see Him. If you open the door to find out what He wants for you to do, you'll see that. He wants to reveal everything to us. We just need to desire it. To say, God, show me. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And let's go to verse 35. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. You cannot walk by faith without illumination. But he says, act on the opportunity for illumination when it's there. Too many people want to live their own life their way and say, someday when I'm ready to get serious about God, I'll seek him. And the light may have passed, the opportunity for light may have passed by. Seek what God has while there's time to do it. Verse 36, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be able to be children of light. Now, let me say this again. While you have light, believe in the light. When God brings you illumination, believe it. When he brings you illumination, act on it. That word believe there is the same word for faith. When illumination comes, exercise faith towards it. Grab a hold of it. Don't let it pass you by, because it will pass you by. You remember the disciples when they were in the boat and the storm was raging and Jesus came walking on the water? And they called out to him. Remember that? It says, and he would have passed them by had they not called out. Here was our opportunity to get Jesus in the boat for the storm to cease and them to get to the other side. And Jesus had all that power and potential within him walking by, but needed them to cry out for him to take advantage, for them to take advantage of the opportunity. God will bring illumination, but without us acting on it, it will pass us by. God has given us, he's given us vision of the glory. Georgetown, a city of glory. He's given us illumination of the cloud of glory in the parking lot, said it's close. Don't get off track. We've had manifestations of the presence of God in overwhelming proportion in all-night prayer and at other times as well. We can't let that slip. We can't let that go. We can't get distracted or complacent. Don't get ahead of myself. Amen. We've got to act on the light that God has brought to us. 1 John. First John chapter 1. And let's go to verse number 5. This then is the message which you have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. Oh my goodness, God is illumination. You're not going to come in contact with God and not get illuminated with regard to something. Amen? It's amazing how prideful people can get, as if they know everything. Oh, I know how the church ought to be run. I know how the pastor ought to how to lead things in the church. I know what he ought to be preaching. I know how we ought to do everything. I know how the kingdom of God operates. You have one encounter with God, and basically you just have to shut your mouth. Say, God, I don't know anything. Because when you come in contact with the glory of God and you recognize his awesomeness, you realize how limited an amount of information you possess. Amen? And you recognize how limited of a supply of his love you're walking in. God is light and he is love. And when you come in contact with God, like I expect us to come in contact with tomorrow night, you will realize how much more of his love you need and how much more of his word you need understanding of. It says, God is light. Find out where we are again. Verse 5. And in him is no darkness at all. And God wants us free of darkness as well. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You fellowship with God, light will be. You spend time with God, you will have illumination. And you'll be free of darkness. I heard Creflo Dollar say this years and years ago, and I believe it's true. every failure in any Christian's life that ever takes place is a prayer failure. It's trying to walk on light of the past and step into places they don't know what they're doing. Amen. Or stepping where they shouldn't walk because they've not spent the appropriate time in prayer and in faith for God to show them what to do and even what not to do. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If you can't fellowship in the body of Christ, if you can't come to church freely without fear of, you know, getting your feelings hurt, there's darkness. Get in the Word, get rid of the darkness, and refuse not to come to church. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here we see illumination keeps us in the place of having sin cleansed. Darkness gets you connected back to sin. Amen. Light is better. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Then once you're at chapter 7, go back to chapter 6. Got ahead of myself again. Deuteronomy was written 1 to 2 months before Moses went in, or before Joshua went in to possess the promised land. Amen. Joshua was commanded of God to go take the land that was promised to Moses. Moses was not allowed to go in because he had sinned before God. And a month before they go in, right at, God reiterates to the nation of Israel everything necessary to possess that land. Amen. And understand, we also are people that are to possess the land. God does not want Satan being the god of this world. He doesn't want him controlling all the mountains of, you know, influence on the earth. He doesn't want Satan being the one that's, you know, put himself as head of the nations, head of the PTA or anything else. He wants his people, sold out Holy Ghost Christians, being in the positions of influence. Amen. The problem is we've been so focused on just trying to take the church, the ground of the church, we let the devil control everything else. I believe in the end times God wants to take it all back. Amen. But before we can take back the mountains of influence, we first got to start with our own lives. Amen. In fact, if you study Joshua, I believe we can take the book of Joshua, especially the first, you know, 8 chapters, and apply the book of Joshua to taking the promised land of our souls. Before you can do anything for God, you've got to possess the 6 inches of dirt between your ears. Because your mind has been programmed for darkness all of your life. And before you can do anything of supernatural capacity, it's going to take supernatural power to possess the land, to dislodge demonic activity. You first got to have your mind reprogrammed with light. You have to have your mind trained to operate in faith, to see in the unseen realm. You've got to get your soul developed and experienced where you know how to act on what God has said and see God's promises come to pass. So before you can possess the land, you first have to possess your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, right? We know this. You got to be able to possess your mind by the Word. It says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, right? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You transform your mind by the Word. Well, we've already established, what's that doing? Producing light. What you're doing when you spend time in the Word is you're taking your mind out of darkness and causing it to dwell in light. You are now seeing by a different source of illumination. You've trained your soul to be able to look beyond what you see with these natural eyes and see what you see with spiritual eyes. Amen. You believe in what God has said above what the natural is declaring. If you can't, then you can't act in faith. Because faith is willing to act beyond what the natural is declaring. When the 12 spies went in to spy out the land, remember that? Back in Exodus, 12 spies went in to spy out this promised land. God said, you're going to possess. And when they came back, God had already promised them the land. 10 of the spies says, oh, it's indeed a great land. Oh, it's full of promise. But there are giants in the land. And we're as grasshoppers in their eyes. Amen? There's giants. And they said, we cannot possess the land. Joshua and Caleb, it says, were of a different spirit. And it says, yes, there's giants in the land. But God is with us and we are well able to possess it. What happened? There's no doubt the enemy was stronger than Israel. But God is stronger than the enemy. And two of the 12 had stepped into a place of supernatural illumination that they trusted in God to take them on in. 10 were limited by their natural eyesight and couldn't possess. It says in Psalm 78 that those that God had to destroy in the wilderness because they wouldn't believe, it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 78. It says they limited God. How do you limit God? When you won't believe what He said. Because God won't go beyond your will. Amen? And your will to follow God stops where your faith ends. Your will to follow God truly begins where your faith starts. Because God's always going to take you into the place of stepping into the supernatural. And stepping into the place where you really believe what He said. It does not take any faith, doesn't take any effort to believe God on what you're already going to possess yourself. Did you follow me? I mean, I believe tonight I'm going to drive home in my truck. I just believe God, I'm going to drive home in my truck. I don't take any faith, I got a truck in a parking lot. Might take some faith, it'll start. But it's a straight shift. If I can push it off, I have to. We'll get going. Amen. It'll start fine. Didn't take any faith. Didn't please God that you say, I just thank you, God, I'm driving home my truck. You know, God may be pleased that you recognized Him, but it's not something God's going, wow, somebody really believes me. If they really believe me, they'd have a better truck. In Jesus' name, I have believed, I received. Amen. I'm ready for vehicles I don't want to fix. So Deuteronomy was written right before they went into possess. I was on this. I wrote this down during praise and worship. Understand, to possess the land, you first have to start possessing your mind. So we possess our mind by the Word. As you possess your mind, you possess your body. You can't possess your body beyond what you possess your mind. As you possess your body, you possess your life. Amen. Hey, you can't possess your life if your body's running after crazy. As you possess your life, you possess your house. As you possess your house, you possess your areas of influence. You can possess your workplace. You can possess your school. You can possess areas that you have authority in or connected to. Wherever there's a covenant, you can possess it. You can possess your family. You're the Holy Ghost one, right? The Bible says you and all your house shall be saved. Use your faith on that. And as the body of Christ, possesses their areas of influence, we possess the cities. And as we possess the cities, we take over the full promised land. But what did it start with? Possessing the mind by the Word. If we corporately would possess our minds by the word, no devil in hell can stop us from taking the land. But it starts with the word. Amos starts with time in the word. And you spend time in the word, and everything else falls into place. But you know what we have instead? We have people trying to take the land without the other initial steps. If I can just get my picket sign, if I can just run for political office, which nothing wrong with that, you follow me? If I can just, you know, hand out enough, you know, flyers or get enough people to sign petitions, we can take the land. No, not if you've not won it in the spirit first. Devil's laughing at our petitions. Not that you shouldn't sign them, you follow me? But he's laughing at that. He's terrified of the anointing. And you get people to start taking the land by the anointing, now you have something that can dislodge the devil. But no taking the mind, no anointing. No anointing, no glory, no glory, no taking the full land. Well, we got Christians running around in all these political activities. Again, nothing wrong with it. I believe in being politically involved and heard. I believe in being on a PTA and running for office. I believe that. But I believe it's only going to be fully effective as we're anointed. Otherwise, the devil just got you running in circles. And as somebody that spent many years, you know, picketing and petitioning and everything else against stuff, I've come to the realization I got to do it by the anointing. Taking the kingdom of God, taking the earth for the glory of God, is going to be more than a political move. It's going to be a glory move. Amen. So we first must have our mind renewed by the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 1 says, now these are the commandments, statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. God says, you're going into possess. Here's what you have to do. There are directives you'll need to follow. There are disciplines you'll need to develop. Amen. Because it's going to be done supernaturally. And you can't access the supernatural by your own efforts. It's going to take a coordinated effort with the Holy Spirit. Am I going too fast? Let me say that again. You'll never take the land by your own efforts. It will be a coordinated effort with you and the Holy Spirit. It's going to be supernatural. So you'll have to follow God and what He's telling you to do, amen, to connect to His power. That you might as fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Here He says He wants to increase us. I believe we start off with, you know, 15 people at all-night prayer. God wants to take it to 100, to 1,000, into 24/7 all-night prayer. He wants to increase what you put your hand to. And He says, I'll take you into the land that floweth with milk and honey. And what do you get when you combine milk with honey? Money. Amen. That just riles up religious devils anyway. Well, they're bending the word. Hey, it's scriptural. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now follow me on this. The first thing God says you got to do, the first commandment He gives you want to go into possess, is you better love God with everything you have. Because you cannot go in and possess your life. I mean, maybe you don't want to take the land, but you certainly want your life. Hopefully you want your family saved. Hopefully you want to, you know, to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers, which is mind renewal as well, right? By the word. If all you want to do is take your life to live a good life, the first thing you have to do is make sure you do it by faith in the illumination God brings. Which means you have to love God, love His kingdom, love His provision, and go after it. You know, I love ice cream. I probably shouldn't confess that. Ice cream, yuck, ooh. I didn't even feel right saying it. I love good donuts. You know what? I want. I can be in Kroger's. I don't want to say it's wrong. And they have their whole display rack of donuts. I don't even want any. I can drive by Krispy Kreme or Spalding's. I don't want that. I've already had Frank's donuts. Best donut I've ever had. I will drive 30 minutes out of the way to get a Frank's donut. If it's early enough in the morning, I know they're still hot. I mean, I will go out of the way to get Frank's donuts. I don't need a Kroger donut right there. No, that ain't it. That is not it. I want a Frank's donut. Amen. I'm willing, because I love Frank's donuts, to shift priorities in my life to get them. I'm not doing it just because it's convenient. And Patty and I will establish our routes, whatever trip we're taking, to go near the Dairy Queens. And if there's a Culver's on the way, we're allowed to drive 50 miles out of the way because there's a Culver's. I have a new favorite concrete. Butterscotch mint. I had one the other day. It was like, are you kidding me? They got to have this in heaven. I will go out of my way for Culver's custard. Amen. It beats any ice cream I've ever had. Now, they may be taking these tapes later and doing commercials with them. Frank's will have it playing at his place and Culver's, you know. The point is I will shift my priorities because I love it. And if you love God, you'll shift your priorities. And increase will come, just like through ice cream and donuts, increases come to me. Just not necessarily spiritual increase. Let's just say there's more of me to be anointed. Hallelujah. I'm going to get this off and be more compactly anointed here soon. God says, love him. Go after him. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he says, all these things shall be added unto you. You got to want God enough and want his blessing enough to seek it. It's not sufficient just to say, well, I love God and do nothing. Well, I went to church. Not enough. If you love somebody, you're going to seek them. I love my wife. I seek opportunities to be with her. Amen. I don't like being away from her. If I'm with her, I like her around. I don't want her upstairs vacuuming. Be down here with me. Just leave the vacuum. I hate vacuums. Amen. They serve a purpose, but I hate that sound. There are no vacuum cleaners in heaven. And all the women say it. Amen. You know what the vacuum cleaners are in heaven? They've chained up a couple big mouth devils. You carry them by the feet and they go, whoo, and suck it all up. Amen. I like that image. He's under our feet anyway, right? He's used to being in the dust, crawling in the dust. Of course, there may not be dirt in heaven. I don't know. Amen. The point is, we're to love God. If you love him, you'll go after him. And it's your job to stir yourself up to do that. Well, if God wants me to act, he'll make me act. God doesn't make you do anything. He gives you illumination and gives you the opportunity to act on it. And when we get to heaven, there'll be no excuses not to act on what he's illuminated to us. Verse number 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach them to thy children. Even if they say, Dad, where'd I ever hear that at? You teach. You're responsible for teaching. Not for being the most popular parent, but being the most loving parent. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. You're to talk about the word all the time. Amen. Talk about what the word declares. And it says, when you walk, understand that's by faith. Talk about the word. And thou shalt bind them, talking about the word, for a sign upon thine hand, and there shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. Look at this. God says, I need you to see the word at all times. Now, the frontlets were the little boxes they would wear on their foreheads, and inside each box would be these rolled up scriptures. Amen. Representing having the mind surrounded by the word. He said, I need your mind surrounded by the word. I need it on your doorpost. When you come into your house, when you go out, you see the word. Have it all over the place. God says, if you're going to go in and possess, your mind has to see word everywhere. You have to be led by the illumination only the word can produce. That's why, you know, I'm not a big fan of just regular artwork. I like scripture. You in my office, every artwork I have just about is just scripture. I want to see the word. I want to read what God has to say. I want an image to be produced by the word. And I believe the technology we have today was given to us by God for that very purpose. We are the first generation ever to have available to us word opportunity 24/7. You can rise up to Christian preaching. You can sleep all night with Christian preaching in the house. You can drive with earbuds in or run with earbuds in. You have DVDs available, satellite TV. You have CD players. Everything can be scripture all around you, or, you know, worship music or whatever. We have the ability to have our life inundated by word like no other generation. It used to be, you go back 100 years, the only words you get was when you opened that Bible, when you went to church. There 100 years ago, there was no television to turn on and watch Christian preaching. No radio programs. You're turning in, you know, and it was, you know, light for today. You opened the book, and you had to trust God to illuminate. Now, you might get your set of Matthew Henry commentaries to help explain it, but by and large, everything was written. Now you have the word can come in through your eye gates, written and visual, your ear gates. Amen. There's probably weather coming up with that you smell word. I don't know. God has given us a technology to have the word available all the time. And based on how much we really love God and love the life of God and the kingdom of God, will determine how much we believe that the word produces change, will determine how much of the word we go after. Don't you love coming to church? Amen. This is not condemnation. This is stretching. This is drawing you to go deeper. This is not to beat you up and say, well, you haven't studied enough, you haven't sought God. This is talking about there's always more we can stretch into. God is a God of infinite opportunity. And if you haven't got all the words you think you should have, don't beat yourself up. Just develop a hunger that you want more. Amen. You know, I never beat myself up because I didn't have a donut that day. I thank God when I get them. Amen. But my love of donuts enough is enough to drive me to get all the donuts I need. Let your love of God be what drives you to get in Scripture, not a legalistic requirement. I got to get in the Word. No, you want to get in the Word. You can't wait to get in the Word. You can't wait to God to unveil something to you. You can't wait for God to strengthen you out of that Word and give you, you know, fresh illumination. We do it out of love, not out of legalistic requirements. Amen. But sometimes you do develop discipline to do it even when you don't feel like it, because you've learned the value of it. Are you still with me? Verse number 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee, great and goodly houses, or great and goodly cities, that thou buildest not. God wants to give us the cities. We didn't even build it. The heathen built it. But God gives it to us. And houses full of good things which thou fillest not. God wants to give you houses. He wants to give you cities and houses. He wants to turn over to you the wealth of the wicked, like it declares in Scripture. Wells which you didn't dig. Amen. Vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. Cars you didn't build. Amen. Big screen TV sets you didn't buy. God wants to turn over to you. He wants you blessed. But He wants your love of Him to be so great, those blessings don't distract you from what He's assigned you to do. You get the big screen TV and all of a sudden all you want to do is sit and watch, you know, the History Channel or other things and can't get in the Word. You just let the blessing become a curse. Keep your love for God fired up that nothing keeps you from Him. He says in verse 11 again, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. So many people come to God because they're in a, how can I say it, dangerous situation. They're in a, you know, precarious situation. Things are falling apart. They need an emergency in their life, a Savior, you know. So they come to Jesus, and they come to church, and God starts fixing everything in their life. All of a sudden, you know, things aren't falling apart. You know, they're not being evicted. They're not dying, whatever it might be, and things are fixed. And so many people, once things are fixed, they lose their hunger for God. So God fixing your life, all of a sudden you don't want to seek Him anymore. So He says in verse number 12, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Amen. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shall swear by His name. Thou shalt not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you. The Lord thy God is jealous. I've been leading up tonight in this entire message to make this key statement. God has promoted this church to the place in many of your lives that you're no longer in emergency mode. You came in here, whenever you came in, I mean, things were falling apart. You needed a move of God. You needed it financially, emotionally, physically, whatever, you know, relationship-wise, you needed a move of God. And you came in here and you used your faith, you sought God, you prayed, and God fixed it. And for the most part, this church is in that place where we've come. We haven't possessed our houses yet. Amen. Haven't possessed our, you know, fine cars and everything. Haven't possessed a city. But we're at a place where we're no longer in desperate mode. Even this church, we're not in desperation like we've been at sometimes in the past. We're now established. And God says, don't forget how you got here. Here's the word. I believe God gave this to me this afternoon. To let the church know to guard against complacency. Spiritual complacency. Okay, I can breathe again. Now let me enjoy my life like I was trying to do before I had all the emergencies arise. If you go back to living like you lived before, you'll once again experience the emergencies you had before. Keep staying in the system with God that brought you to this place that you can breathe. Keep seeking God with all your heart. Don't let anything rise up ahead of you. Don't let the big screen TV move ahead of God. Amen. Don't let that you have some money in your pocket, you can buy some stuff. Now you're out shopping all the time or going places, you know, take you out of the love of God. Stay after the things of the kingdom. Because our assignment was never just to get our life fixed. It was to possess the cities. It's to manifest the glory. It's to bring in the harvest. And God cannot bring in the harvest through lethargic, complacent, uninspired, unanointed Christians. That's not what I'm calling us. We're not. But if we don't stay on fire, we'll become religious like every other on fire group has done in the past who wouldn't stay after God. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God that's within you. You have the responsibility to resist for resisting complacency. You have the responsibility to move yourself off that secure, balanced position and say, okay, now what can I stretch into faith in right now? We go from faith to faith. And too many people will develop faith until they get to a place they can survive and they quit wanting to stretch any further. I can breathe again here. Let's don't take the next step. And God said, no, 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 no. Move back to that place where you need me. But now it's not, you don't need me because your life's falling apart. You need me because there's things I require for you to possess. Things for you to step into. Things for you to develop. I got stuff God's assigned me to do that if I never did it, it'd be fine with me. Amen. But God says, I need you to stretch into that. I've been assigned to write a book for years. And I write at it now and then. But it's a stretch for me. I don't like to write. Stretch into it. I'm stretched to make this partnership between the church and the business community take place in some fashion. Seeking God for wisdom on that. I just soon didn't have to do that. It's not gonna determine whether or not, you know, things are peaceful in my house. But yet God says, for where I'm taking you, with the assignment, I need you to go there. You got to find out what God's calling you to step into and say, okay, God, let's stretch into it. Even if it tends to shake things up in the other places you thought you had peace. Stretch into what God has for you. We did that with all-night prayer. We did that a year and a half ago, where I'm 2.5 years ago with all-night prayer. We said we're going to try it every other, first once a month and every other Friday. We stretched into it. Now we've gone to it every Friday night. A stretch. But it was an assignment. One option was assignment. Well, it was optional whether to obey or not, you follow me. But to not obey would have been to disobey. And we're watching God manifest through that step of faith. What's God telling you to do? Refuse to get to that place of complacency. And say, God, stir me up. Or show me what to do so I can stir myself up. Let's go into what you have. Because I'm watching some people in here get complacent in their church attendance. I'm watching people come in and in some situations and the fire's not on them like it was before. And I know the fire's not on them because somehow they've lost their enthusiasm for the disciplines of fueling their faith. Tongues has fallen off. Time praying in the Holy Ghost. Time of the Word has fallen off. Church attendance has fallen off. What's happening? It says in the parable of the sower, amen, that which was sown in thorny soil sprang up and began to bear fruit, but the thorns grew up and choked out the word and made it unfruitful. Amen. And it says the thorns were the cares of this world. Amen. The lust of other things and the deceitfulness of riches. All of a sudden, what you can do with money is crowding out your hunger for God and your seeking of God activities. God said, don't let the idols displace me from being your God. Money can be your idol. Sports can be your idol. Can I just mention something for a second? It has been known by world leaders for centuries that if you can get people focused on athletic competitions, they'll lose their focus on world events. If you can get people that will just get into athletic competitions, it may even help them to stay at peace with other nations. Because you let your competitiveness or strife be released through athletic events. But the devil knows if he can get people so focused on athletics and that's the most important thing in their life, they'll lose their concern for what the devil's doing on the planet as long as their team wins. Because they're so identified with the team that things can be falling apart in the world or in the city around, but their team won. When we get to heaven, it's not going to matter who won the national championship. Now, listen, I'm a sports enthusiast as well. I enjoy sports, so I'm not trying to take away from that. But we have to make sure that we don't let our focus on a sports team take us to the point we'll read everything we can about the sports team, but nothing about the world political climate. Because what's taking place in the world right now is scary if we were given to fear. North Korea today, did they launch the rocket? Did not launch the rocket. We're poised to launch a rocket that jets were ready to shoot down. And they're threatening nuclear missiles to be launched against their adversaries. Poised for nuclear war. Nations are ready to destroy Israel. And our president's providing no support for the nation God said you must support to be blessed. This stuff with Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman has me highly concerned about people of bigotry on both sides controlling the multitudes that really want peace. And I'm concerned innocent people are going to die. If bigots could just shoot bigots, it'd be fine. Really wouldn't be fine, you follow me? But they don't. People of hatred always catch the innocent up in what they're doing. This nation is poised for major conflict without a move of God. Not to mention the two ends of the political spectrum we have. And yet, our focus on athletics, as long as such and such wins the NBA championship or whatever, I'll have peace. I'm just happy. What are you praying for the regions you're to possess? I know what it's like. I know what it's like. Your team's doing good. You'll read every article about them. You'll search on Google every what are they saying about my team? I read on Facebook this morning about this new recruit. Must have been 20 times. 20 people posted they got this new recruit. And I'm not condemning, I'm not criticizing, you follow me? But I read very few posts about the nuclear missile, or the missile about to be launched. The enemy would love to misplace our priorities. A lot of times it's athletic stuff and other distractions. All they are is, how can I say it? Placebos. They're distractions for what really is important right now, as people are supposed to possess. It's time that we shake off this stupor and slumber that would try to rest on us. Tell Python Spirit to get out of the church. Stir yourself up and say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to get in the Word until the glory falls that I can't help but pray and seek God and get in the Word. Because what else matters? Nothing. Nothing. I'm not going to pick on basketball right now because it's touchy issue around here. Don't want to rile people up. The Giants, the New York Giants, won the Super Bowl this year. I watched it. First Super Bowl game I've seen in probably over 20 years, probably 25 years I've seen live. Last time I saw the Super Bowl, Phil Simms and the Chicago. What are the Chicago team? The Bears. Won the Super Bowl last time I saw it with a refrigerator. William Refrigerator Perry. That's how long it's been. It's a long time ago. And I watched the Super Bowl. I cheered for New York. I was for New York. Yay, the team I was for won. Amen. Enjoy the night. Had a party. Had the Martin Joel, we had a party. Watched the Super Bowl together. But I'm thinking, which member of my family would I exchange their potential salvation for that Super Bowl win? What if instead I spent 3 hours praying for a family member or whatever? I'm not saying you can't. Are you following what I'm saying? You can't let where the distractions steal from you the fire for what God's assigned us to do. We're the ambassador to this world. And we have to shake off complacency. Stir ourselves up for the things of the end times. The church in this nation, without an awakening, is poised to be replaced by churches in other countries who will place it all on the line. The church in China, you have to put your life at risk to be a Christian in China. But they're anointed. Amen. Those people that are willing to risk it all, they're seeing God show up. And I don't like to be replaced. Amen. And personally, I think God's not done with America. I believe the American church is going to rise up at the forefront in the end times because 80% of all gospel giving comes out of America. We've got seed in the ground. So when the inversion takes place, we have to be the harvesters. But I understand I have to believe for it and be positioned for it. Which means I'm going to have to put God on the highest level of priority in my life. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for unity and peace in this church and a people that want all you have to provide. Stir us up, illuminate as people in this body. Open up the scriptures. They see the reality of your promises. And I thank you, Father, you open our eyes up to operate in higher levels of truth. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Aaron, you want to bring your worship team up here? Praise you, Lord God. When I was a kid, I grew up during the Cold War. I remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. A lot of people went, what's that? I'm 8 or 9 years old, I think 9. And Russia was positioning nuclear missiles in Cuba, which could hit the United States. President Kennedy said, get those missiles out of here. And they said, if you don't move them, we'll take them out. We're going to blockade your ships from bringing them in. And American ships intercepted a Russian convoy bringing nuclear missiles to Cuba. And at any minute, if a shot was fired, World War III could have broken out and nuclear total devastation would have taken place. I mean, America and Russia could have ceased to exist. It was that serious. And it was on the brink. I mean, it was right there. And the United States knew it. We were aware of it. And I mean, back then we were taking, as a kid, I went to, instead of doing tornado drills, we did nuclear fallout shelter drills. They taught us, they showed us videos on how to, you know, protect your food from nuclear fallout and what you could eat when you came out. And we thought this was going to take place. And as a kid, we were in terror of this. And the nation, this nation, I believe, was in its most precarious position it had ever been in. Probably since the Civil War, if not more. Because we were poised for annihilation. And in the 40 years since then, 50 years, 50 years since then, right at, I've never seen this nation in anything close to as desperate a situation until now. I went through the riots of the 60s. Amen. Saw the schools blockaded. Went through, you know, situation after situation I've seen. But I've never seen the nation ready to collapse at the level it's at right now. And something's got to shift. And it's up to the people of God to control the shift, to go in God's favor. And there's too much at risk for us just to play games and go through life and put the blinders on and say, well, it just doesn't matter. What happens, happens. No, we are the air traffic controllers for the world. We determine what happens. We have the authority to bind and to loose. There is no excuse. In fact, I need to get these out here. I want to set up a table for a. In fact, I need a volunteer that will set up a table for a voter registration. Amen. I've got one of the forms in my office. I need somebody to get forms set up a table. I want to register everybody in this church to vote. There is no excuse for Christians not to know what's going on politically and vote appropriately. Amen. For us to be involved in our communities. And to be taken dominion. I wish I could remember the example I'm trying to think of. We've let alcohol, drugs, entertainment, recreation, athletics, all be our placebo. It just keeps us fat, dumb, and happy. If I can use that without offending anybody over political correctness, you know, because I'm talking about myself, from really being aware of what's going on in the world and taking authority over it. With the video where the woman took authority over the tornado here, you know, last month. Everybody seen that video? There's a video about to hit West Liberty and she's commanding it away, praying in tongues. And the tornado goes back in the clouds, goes around her house. I'm coming. Of course, but that's just a coincidence. Well, she's still standing there. She can go inside and hide. Amen. Her faith was connecting. And we got tornadoes of the devil hitting all over this nation. Him doing what he wants to do, stirring stuff up. But we have authority to take, we can take authority over that too. Stand your feet with me.